Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for November the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two. The goal, to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property, using the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. Absolutely promoting all things that matter most. Jettisoning critical race theory. Jettisoning the culture attacks. Standing for the cancel of cancel culture. What would that be? Maintaining our culture? Preserving our heritage and our history and our liberties? Yeah, that's Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Last hour with Chris Carlson, we had a great discussion about this mystery man, Meet Ray Epps. Revolver.news is where the article is. Incredible stuff. And it really talks about Stuart Rhodes and Ray Epps. I don't know Ray at all, but I do know Stuart Rhodes. And I'm going to have Stuart on, see if he wants to come back and talk about this Revolver magazine and kind of see what he says. I'd like to get his fair side of the story. You know what I'm talking about? All right, we're going to have a guest coming up here after this segment. Incredible guest talking about the Let's Go Brandon movement in detail, ladies and gentlemen. But before we get to that, I want to highlight this interesting news piece in KSL News. That's one of the biggest news organizations in Utah, KSL Radio. And the headline says this: Utah launches three-year, multimillion-dollar suicide prevention campaign. Article written by Paul Nelson. Utah launches three-year multi-million dollar suicide prevention campaign. Dateline Salt Lake City. Utah state leaders are launching a new suicide prevention campaign aimed to stop suicides in Utah. They say hundreds of people in the state have been taking their own lives every year. They want people who are suffering to know where to turn if they need help, especially during trying times such as a global pandemic. Well, maybe you ought to not call it a global pandemic when it's not. Maybe you ought to not, you know, put the fear of God into everybody over this thing. They say the Live on Utah suicide prevention campaign launched next to the reflecting pool at the Utah State Capitol. So this is the problem that I see. I appreciate that they want to stop suicide. They want to help people. I get it. But you're leading with government, folks. That never works. They say one of the main speakers was Taryn Hyatt, who had even plotted and attempted to take her own life several times. She wishes her father were still alive to see the campaign kick off. He took his own life, battling depression for years. He saw a lot of his internal flaw in himself and that he was weak, she says. Back then, people talked about suicide and depression and a lot less than even people do now. She believes the stigma of asking for help to deal with mental illness is still prevalent with people across the United States. And she says she understands the depression all too well. It's the driving factor of why she wanted to end her life so many times. In her head, she understood her friends and family loved her, but she said, I just didn't feel it. There was a disconnect. I know that I'm loved, but it's not about that. You can't love depression away any more than you can cancer away. I agree that some of these mental difficulties are like physical problems. They're real. But regardless of how much love people may feel, I didn't share that same thought, she explains. The campaign started with $1 million set aside by the state legislature in 2019. And elected officials say that private groups quickly matched that amount. I don't know why we're talking about this 2 years later launching it if it was, but anyway, those funds, they say, will go towards buying ads and public service announcements that'll go anywhere people might see them. TV, print, radio, online, billboards, any media to get the message out. Yeah, state data shows that an average of about 620 Utahns have committed suicide every year for the past 5 years. They say this year's especially concerning because of the job loss and the health restrictions and everything else. This will help people know there are resources available 24/7 if people need help. Anyone dealing with you know, depression or suicidal thoughts is encouraged to call the suicide prevention line. And they go on. But I kind of find this whole story fascinating in my mind, ladies and gentlemen. Now, look, I'm not trying to be difficult. Anybody who's really struggling with this should be encouraged to call the National Suicide Prevention Line or something. I think you get a hold of your religious leaders personally. Okay? That's kind of the problem here. 800-273-TALK, I guess, is the number for that. Now, they say there's reasons to hope. Suicide is Utah's most preventable tragedy. I don't know that I agree with that. I mean, I think it is a reason to hope, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm not so sure that I buy that it's the quintessential easiest thing to solve or the easiest preventable reality. But here's my big problem with the whole discussion, ladies and gentlemen. And that is this. It's very simple. You know, they want to lead by government, and they think government's going to solve all the problems. I'm telling you right now, it's not. And stealing my tax dollars, legislature, for this agenda is wrong. Now I have less money if I have to fight any of these problems in my own family. I have less ability to do it myself. I have to rely on my government to do it for me. All right. Now understand, in this whole article from KSL News, they come back and say, yeah, we're going to get a bunch of money, and then we're going to use this to fund all these advertisements. So KSL is a little bit compromised because they're going to probably get a bunch of the money from the advertisements. See how this circle works, ladies and gentlemen? The news tells you all about this horrible crisis led by the government to fix, partnering with, you got it, the very news people that reported it, right? They're going to get a bunch of money for advertisements, all in suicide prevention, which is all fine, except for quit stealing my money to do it. Do it in the private sector completely. If you feel so passionate about it, don't rape my wallet in the process. And don't think government's going to be your answers. In my opinion, religious leadership, backed by private donors and funding, could address this much, much better. But nobody could address this better than parents and religious leaders. And so if you want my opinion, this whole story, all these problems, all these, they didn't mention God once. If you want to solve the problem, ladies and gentlemen, it's God and family. They're going to solve this problem. It's religious groups working with parents and family units. The government can play a supportive role. I don't have any problem with that. But the government thinking they're the leaders in this, let's have the government put up a bunch of money, and let's have the, you know, private sector partner with it. Where's parents? Where's God? Where's family? Where's, if you want to reach out, call your government hotline. They'll take care of you. No. Talk to your religious leader and your parents and those who love you and care about you. If you need help and it's that egregious, it's okay to reach out to some private sector people who are knowledgeable about this and how to navigate through this. And it's fine for the government to play a supportive role here. Okay, I'm not trying to be critical about everything, but I'm telling you where the answers lie. And Utah launches three-year multi-million dollar suicide prevention campaign. Paul Nelson with the details. But I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, where the answers lie. The answers do not lie in government solving everything. They say reasons to hope. Suicide is Utah's most preventable tragedy. I don't know that I believe that's true. And if it is, it will happen through the private sector, not always through government, okay? Let's be very clear on this. And I don't mean to be offensive. I know people are just like, Sam, why do you always have to attack? They're trying to do something good. Leave them alone, for crying out loud. Because we're looking in all the wrong places. You know that Johnny Lee song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places? That's what we're doing here. You think government's going to solve this problem? Government doesn't provide solutions. Government is the answer for very few things. Government's around to create an honoring of contracts and a stable level playing field. Government exists to have checks and balances to make sure no one's too powerful as we give our consent. Government derives its just power from the consent of the governed. Yeah, I never consented to giving $1 million to kick this thing off in 2019. Oh, yeah, you did, Sam. Your legislatures went for it. Yeah, but they were never given authority to spend money on these kinds of things. All right, so I'm not really excited about Utah launching a three-year multi-million dollar plan on this. Why doesn't the private sector launch a three-year multi-million dollar plan? Why don't businesses and individuals and families come to the table on this thing? Why do we have to have government be the leader? See? So it's all how we go about it that I really want to articulate here. We can go about it in the private sector. We can go about it looking to God and family for solutions. Government can play a supporting role. Businesses and society and for example, psychology and psychiatry organizations and physicians can come to the table. And I don't have any problem with a round table for solutions. It is a vexing problem. I get it. But I'm telling you, you'll never fix it as long as you don't focus on that tie to God Almighty and that tie to family relationships. Family is the fundamental unit of society designed by God to give people safe harbor, protection, stability, comfort, relationships. It's in the relationship with God and family to where belonging becomes valuable. Do you need some outside help on occasion with very difficult circumstances? Absolutely. Possibly so. But do you lead with government? I don't think so. So I don't mean to be critical of the effort here. The effort's a good one. I do mean to hopefully provide honest, open, candid, logical guidance about where we should go and how we should go about these solutions. When you leave God out, and I didn't even hear much about family. All they said was, my family loved me, but I didn't feel it. Well, that's not very complimentary. Let's look at God and family as the real solutions, and then let's find other supports along the way if they become necessary. Shall we? All right, hang tight. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
What do you wish your parents would do to show you they love you?
Take me to Montana.
That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that I could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
Liberty Roundtable Live takes to the airwaves with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use Monday through Saturday. 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, we tell the tale of liberty. We promote news the networks refuse to use on your radio on the Sabbath. We rest as the good Lord intended, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest, Rick Green, founder of PatriotAcademy.com. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.
Now, quickly, just so people know who Rick Green is, you've been around forever, right?
Starting to feel like that, man. We've seen a lot, for sure. Used to be a legislator in Texas. Been working as a Constitution coach for about 25 years, getting people to study the Constitution and understand their liberty and freedom and how to fight for it and defend it. And, man, for such a time as this, people are hungry to learn those things today as we're beginning to question what the proper role of government is as it tries to take over our life in every area. So we're glad to be where we are and what we're doing with Patriot Academy.
when we talk about the training courses at Patriot Academy, it's incredible. The numbers that you guys are reaching are tremendous. We're not in the thousands of the tens of thousands anymore. We're in the hundreds of thousands and millions, right?
Yeah, it's exciting, man. I'm telling you. In fact, we may today hit 10,000 coaches, let alone people going through the class, hundreds of thousands of people taking the classes, thousands of classes happening right now across the country, and people that are out there saying, hey, what can I do? I realize the country's slipping away. I realize socialism and communism is suddenly becoming the popular thing. These kids are becoming Marxists. They're buying into all the lies. What can I do to turn this thing around? Anyone out there can be a Constitution coach, and that simply means getting people into your living room or at your church or just getting people together, and our videos bring the expertise. You don't have to know anything about the history of the country or the Constitution. We do all of that, and we bring the best of the best through those videos. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's not your typical, you know, boring. I tell people all the time, it's the only Constitution class in America that you won't fall asleep in. I mean, they're actually entertaining, and you learn a lot, and the most important thing is people leave with hope. They leave your home or your church, wherever you've been having that class, with hope and encouraged and with real action steps to make a difference. And like you said, it's hundreds of thousands of people. We believe we're going to reach millions before the next election. And it's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. Civic ignorance is why we're in the mess we're in. Civic literacy, biblical literacy, those are the things that will get us out of this mess.
And I want to stress the biblical literacy here. Look, you're not going to get this done without God, Rick. It's just not going to happen, people.
Yeah, man, we have ignored the formula, right? We've ignored the secret sauce that made America the greatest nation in the history of the world. Not just the most powerful or the wealthiest or the most free, but also the most benevolent nation in the history of the world. The only people ever on the face of the planet to have a technological advantage in war and not use it for conquest, but use it to free and liberate people. That's the story of America. It's absolutely incredible. But if you want those kind of outputs in your neighborhood, in your community, in your nation, you got to know what the inputs are that produced that. And the inputs for America, it was a biblical foundation. The founding fathers absolutely were breathing the atmosphere of a biblical worldview. And so they were implementing those timeless principles that God gives us in the Bible that work every time that they're tried, but we have to use them. Even basic ideas like separation of powers, they didn't just get that from Montesquieu and the spirit of the laws. They got it from Jeremiah 17:9 that says, the heart is evil, no man can know it. So if you make somebody a king, then their evil will come out of their heart. That was a logical conclusion. So, I mean, it's all through our Constitution. We've run from that for decades. It's time to come run towards those answers and towards those solutions and actually learn them ourselves and then hold our elected officials accountable to those principles.
PatriotAcademy.com. So you mentioned a lot of these coaches for liberty don't. They're not really the super educators. The videos support that. The coaches are kind of advocates to help bring the people to the room and say, hey, we've got this opportunity. They're the organizers of the training. Who are really the trainers in the videos?
Yeah, so we actually go to Independence Hall in the room where the Constitution was framed. I do most of the training in that room. And then we go to David Barton's library. He's got the largest private collection of Founding Fathers documents in the world. So we literally go to the original documents.
Let me tell you a quick story about David Barton. David Barton, dear friend, and I, back in 92, 93, 94 range, I was watching David Barton's videos. He took a great place in my education, sir, and I've been doing radio for more than 25 years now.
In those videos, he looks like he's 14, right?
For sure. not when words come out of his mouth, he doesn't, though. He's like a doctorette.
No,
right?
It's just brilliant stuff. You know, he's honestly, he has read more of the Founding Fathers than any living human being alive. He can get inside their heads and tell you exactly what they were thinking at the time just because he's read all their journals, their correspondence with each other, the debates at the Continental Congresses. I mean, it's just incredible the stuff that he knows. And that's part of the fun is in the class. We go into that library, and he pulls a lot of that stuff off the shelf. Tim Barton teaches on a response to the 1619 Project. It's just incredible. He decimates their arguments, shows the great black history in America, the great black heroes in the Revolutionary War, all the way through that history. And it's really powerful for black and white Americans both, because it destroys this narrative that blacks have no ownership in the American dream and shows that you actually absolutely do, and you should be enjoying that freedom as much as anybody else, and gets rid of this crazy white guilt of generations today that had nothing to do with slavery from, you know, hundreds of years ago. So it's a really important part of
the founders were by nature William Wilberforce-esque, if you will. It just took society and generations to really make a lot of these changes. Change doesn't happen on a dime, and the founders understood understood it, but they set the stage with their actions. Rick?
You nailed it. I mean, you have to be, you have to get in the time machine and be in that time to understand the context. You know, everybody today with the, with all of these movements, they're trying to act like America. I mean, you had an Ivy League senator stand on the floor of the Senate and say America invented slavery. Now, look, I don't care what Sunday school you ever have, you ever went to. Surely you know who Joseph was, coat of many colors, sold by his brothers into slavery. That was way before 1776. Moses led the children of Israel out of slavery. I mean, it's crazy that we would say America invented slavery. The entire world had slavery when we had slavery. And what people don't know, and we teach in this course, America was the first nation to end the slave trade and the fourth nation to ban slavery completely. We were not being dragged across the finish line. We were helping to lead the way. So the important part of this is the context to know what was happening in the world at the time. We had a very small percentage of the slaves that came from Africa compared to Brazil and Portugal and others.
Yeah,
and that
the first slave owner in America was a black man, though, by the way.
Absolutely right, man. So few people know that. I'm impressed that you even know that. Nobody talks about that.
I hate to deal with this because it just throws everybody who believes in slavery under the bus, as it should, but it's brutal. The truth is that there are people who believe in slavery because they were taught that from the cradle up. Generational change takes a long time, but we've made tremendous progress. And you know what? America's been a blessing to every group that's come here, regardless of the tragedies along the way, sir.
Yeah, I tell people today, especially young people, see, look, if America's so bad, I mean, just do the country boy test. I'm just a country boy from Dripping Springs, Texas. Real simple test. Are people trying to get in? Or are they trying to get out? Why are they trying so hard to come to America? If we're so systemically racist, if we're so bad, then why is red, white, yellow, black, and brown coming from all over the world wanting to get into America? Because of the American dream. It's not the, you never heard of the North Korean dream or the Venezuelan dream or the Cuban dream. It's the American dream. That's why they come here. And whatever color the skin, whatever nation they come from, whatever religion, they have a better chance of success and freedom and prosperity and all of those things here than anywhere else on the planet. We're still the greatest nation on the planet. We've got huge problems because we've ignored the formula that got us here. But if we go back to the formula, we can solve those problems. Every answer is in God's word. Every answer that we need, we can learn from history, learn what works, what doesn't work. If we'll just go back and we'll do that study, it makes such a huge difference. And that's, you know, so those are some of the people that teach. We've also got Kirk Cameron and Rabbi Daniel Lappin and Matt Staver and Congressman Barry Loudermilk and just all kinds of experts.
Just incredible educators is the point, ladies and gentlemen. And I kind of want to mention this, too. You know, if we're such a racist country, how did we hold back LeBron James and Ben Carson? I'm just kind of wondering that. I'm not very smart, man. But LeBron and Ben are probably opposites in terms of the spectrum. But they're both black gentlemen, and they both have been able to enjoy the American dream like nobody's business. How did that happen? Just asking. All right, PatriotAcademy.com. How do people use it? Does it cost money? For who? How? Tell me how the rollout works.
Free. We're blessed to have donors that make it possible. So you can become a coach absolutely for free. We'll train you. You get access to all the materials. Your students can take the class for free. We have a digital workbook if they don't want to buy a physical workbook. So it really is a free, great, great opportunity to get that education, to have fun, to have fellowship, too. I mean, that's one of the cool things about the class. I always tell everybody, you know, I think our videos are pretty good. I think we do a great job of teaching. It's fun. It's entertaining. But the magic happens after the video's over and the people sitting in your living room or at your church or wherever you're doing your class start talking about these things, and they have a chance to vent about what's going on in the nation. They have a chance to ask questions and discuss, and you don't have to have the answers. You just open the dialogue and have the discussion, and if there's any question about some technical part of the Constitution, you send it in to us, we'll get you the answer. I get stumped at every Constitution class I do. I'm America's Constitution coach, and I get stumped. There's no one person that knows it all, so we learn together, and we go study these things together, and it's fun, it's exciting, and it's making a huge difference. I'm telling you, candidates are coming out of these courses. People are getting involved. They're learning how to go testify at the school board. They're making a huge difference. The system works, but we have to work the system.
You got to learn the principles, ladies and gentlemen. You got to teach people correct principles. Then you got to let them govern themselves. That's how it starts. Right. The magic happens in the class because you feel the spirit of God. You feel the spirit of liberty, ladies and gentlemen. But let me tell you where the magic really happens. It's when you decide that God's calling you to get involved and you get on your knees and you find out how. Thus, over 25 years ago, I became a radio talk show host. You can find out on your knees how you're involved. That's the magic. You pray hard as if it's up to God, then you get up and take action as if it's up to you. And in the middle, you meet Rick Green with me. Liberty Roundtable Live continues in seconds. Let's go!
Pre- protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As the Kyle Rittenhouse trial will go to the jury after closing arguments on Monday, the mother of Kyle Rittenhouse claimed President Biden defamed her son while Biden publicly announced Kyle is a white supremacist. Wendy Rittenhouse is angry at the Democrat president. She says President Biden does not know her son whatsoever and is not a racist. And Biden slandered Kyle for the votes. A U.S. appeals court on Thursday denied congressional investigators access to former President Trump's White House records relating to January 6. A hearing on the matter is scheduled for November 30. The three judges on the appeals panel were all appointed to the bench by either President Biden or former President Obama. Winter, the dolphin, the Clearwater Marine Aquarium's main attraction, and the star of the film Dolphin Tale, has passed away at the age of 16. Winter was battling a possible infection. We are USA Radio News.
With confusion around vaccinations, masks, and public screenings, it's important to know the symptoms of COVID and its variants. Fever is the leading sign, so make sure you use an accurate thermometer for your family. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Non-contact thermometers have no clinical evidence behind them and cannot be relied on. Be vigilant and be accurate with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Big news from Simply Safe Home Security. Okay. Actually, I think the horns are too much. Yeah, that's better. Big news. The new wireless outdoor security camera is here. Yes, Simply Safe's award-winning home security just got even better, taking whole home protection to a whole new level. Okay, I'm missing the horns. Simply Safe is celebrating this new camera with 50% off a new system this week. Visit simplysafe.com.
As inflation is draining American wallets of disposable income, the essentials for everyday life have been going up in costs with no end in sight. October's 6.2% inflation rate is the biggest jump in over 30 years. When you think inflation, you probably think gas and food. Hold on, as insurance rates will probably be hitting Americans soon.
According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, average premiums are up 4% from last year and 47% from 2011. Deductibles have surged over 68% in cost from a decade ago. Additionally, employers at smaller companies face deductibles up to 70% higher than those at larger firms. Currently, around 155 million Americans rely on employer-sponsored health coverage. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Thank you for listening. It is well appreciated. And a TGIF to you, my friend. We are USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
The phrase, ladies and gentlemen, let's go, Brandon, has taken the nation by storm. Rick Green with me. Rick Green's founder of PatriotAcademy.com. He's done a lot of things in his life, but now he's an educator and a trainer for the Constitution, doing a phenomenal job at that with David Barton and many others. Incredible efforts available to you. And this is really, in my opinion, the genius of America coming out right now. PatriotAcademy.com. And what you can do is you can become a coach. You can advocate for training in your area, your church, it goes on and on of where you can help lead the charge here. And as Americans get involved and wake up and they decide where they want to be in the fight and they get involved, and everybody has a role to play. Some are educators, some are talk show hosts, some are authors and writers, some are just behind the scenes with their businesses funding the rest of us. I mean, everybody has a role to play. And that's really important to understand. So you got this Let's Go Brandon movement starting out with people yelling F Joe Biden around the country. And then, of course, a reporter tried to cover it up and got caught. Now the Let's Go Brandon movement on her cover-up, they mock her with the statement. They also show their displeasure with the administration. Rick Green, I'm not a fan of it. We'll get into that in a minute. But what do you say to all this?
Well, you know, we've got a rich history in America, or deep history, I guess I should say, of using sarcasm and humorous expressions to basically speak out and say enough is enough, especially when we've been pushed over the brink and feel like there's no other way to speak out. And so I think that's really what happened with this. Obviously, it was crass in the beginning, and I'd much rather hear people chanting "Let's go, Brandon" than the other one. But it is, I think, in some ways healthy, because a lot of people finally realized I'm not alone. There are other people that are sick of this, and I thought I was the only one because everybody else has been silenced on social media and everything else. In a lot of people's circles, man, they don't hear Sam. They don't hear you. They don't hear me. They don't hear people that are dissenting from the president. They only get the narrative from the White House and the media, a controlled message that has, become a 1984 Orwellian situation. And so when these stadiums started doing this, I think literally for millions of Americans for the first time, they went, wow, I guess I'm not the only one that's sick of this stuff. And they jumped in. So, I mean, if you go all the way back to Yankee Doodle and the American Revolution, the Don't Tread on Me flags, up through a lot of the sarcasm and jokes in the Revolutionary War and things that were used. Look at how we painted the airplanes in World War II. There's a rich history of this type of thing, and I think for some people they feel like it's their only way to express. I want them to know there are other ways to express yourself, but I'm actually not against it because I think it's causing people to realize there's an awful lot of other people that agree with them.
So I'll be the first to double down and agree with the point that people now realize they're not alone. That is valuable. I agree completely with the rich history of, and I don't even want to say the word civil disobedience because it makes it sound like we're the ones that are disobedient. We're not the ones that are civil disobedient, ladies and gentlemen. Your government leaders who are disobeying the law and violating the checks and balances that made this country great, they're the ones involved in disobedience. We are the consent of the governed. We are the people that give our consent to their legitimate authority in the first place. So there's no doubt the checks and balances call upon us to be anxiously engaged in a good cause and demand accountability. I get that. I also get this idea that, hey, let's go, Brandon's way better than the other one. I support that idea, and I support that we're not alone, and I support that we've got to have some way to express our grievance, if you will, and to air that, and to do so in a peaceful assembly. Look, we're talking about the five elements of the First Amendment all on tap here for a legitimately good reason. I support it. I agree. Here's the problem that I have with it, and I don't want to spend forever on the problems because there's a lot of good here I want to talk about, Rick, but I do want to highlight this.
Sure.
If we're not very careful, this Let's Go Brandon is built on a lie. It wasn't that at all. It was F Joe Biden, and now we're starting to run around and have crowds say Kamala's a whore, and if we're not very careful, we lose the moral high ground in our quest to save the country. And I'm afraid that's not the best way to go about it. I'd rather chant paper ballots. I'd rather chant honesty is the issue. And so I get the humor and I get the fun and I support it, but that's my concern. Your response?
Yeah. No, I think it's a legit concern completely. And part of it is the what's the expression that the tinder, what's about to be lit on fire right now is not a biblically sound culture. In other words, we have such a high percentage of our country that doesn't have the moral moorings. We're not tied to biblical absolutes and moral absolutes. And so if you allow the mob to get out of control in America right now, it's not going to be pretty. Even in times when we had a majority that were tied to the Bible and learning biblical principles and believing in right and wrong and moral absolutes, even then you had mobs that tarred and feathered and did things that were, physical assault and those kind of things, even in the founding era. So I think you're right. It is a dangerous thing when you live in a almost libertarian society where people are willing to be much more beyond the pale and might be willing to even turn it from chance into physical violence. So I would say, yes, keep a monitor on it and careful what you say. But at the same time, people feel like this is their only expression, their only way to speak out at this point. And so I'm glad that they're at least finally willing to push back. And I agree with your point on civil disobedience. Of course, Ben Franklin had that seal that he created, that was all about rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. So it really backs up your point. We're not the ones being disobedient. We're the ones being obedient to truth and obedient to God. And that might turn into rebellion to tyrants, but it's still being the ones that are truly obedient. So I think you raise a good point. I don't think we're there yet to the point where we've lost that and it's gone crazy. And that's why it's important for leaders, to channel that passion. And I was worried about this a year and a half ago whenever BLM and Antifa were burning our cities, that good people were going to respond in violent ways that would be the Rostock fire that actually January 6th did turn into.
And to our credit, we did not, ladies and gentlemen. Write that down. Right. Go ahead, sir.
No, you're right, and so I felt it was real important even back then to channel that energy and say there's proper, peaceful, constitutional ways to do this. And so I guess, you know, I'm at that place where I think it's good that people are expressing themselves, but it's vital that we get deeper, that we go deeper to the principles themselves, and it not just be a selfish kind of response that, you know, don't tread on me just because I want to have, you know, freedom and liberty, but we look at those other flags like an appeal to heaven. We look at the idea that there's no king but King Jesus. We look at why we have liberty. The danger is that people today too often think that liberty is a license for licentiousness, that they think it's just freedom means do anything and everything that you want. Everybody has their own truth. Everybody does whatever. That's not the American formula for freedom. God's blessings are found within his boundaries when you live within his commands. And so it is important that we influence that narrative and that we channel that energy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't agree more with Rick Green on this point. He's acknowledging the concern that I have. Look, I look at my case history, my case study, and I say, look, what's the difference between the American Revolution and the French Revolution, folks? One turned out to be incredible. The other one turned out to be nothing but an absolute dumpster fire disaster. Why?
Yeah.
Why, Rick?
Yeah, I mean, the fundamental difference was the American system was built on freedom from God and lived out with a respect for the authority of God, and the French wanted freedom without God. They wanted liberty, you know, libertas that was just innate and that everybody had it, but there was no boundary. There was no limit to it. The American Founding Fathers understood the difference, and they infused the Bible into the culture so that you would be ruled by the Bible instead of by the bayonet. Speaker Robert Winthrop put it that way. He said, you're either going to be ruled from within or ruled from without. And if we teach people morals and we teach them truth and they are governed by God's standards, then you don't need as much government to come in and deal with situations where people are living outside those standards. So the less more moral we are, the more we need government. And so the more you got to have government just so you can get to the car, right? You're walking in from the office and you don't want to be raped, murdered, or stolen from. If you have a lawless society where anything goes and everything's okay, which is what these people are literally asking for when they want to defund the police, when you move that direction, you end up needing more government and more tyranny just to keep everybody from killing each other. But if we'll have the Bible as the foundation of the country, if we'll teach people right from wrong, if we'll teach them responsibility with their rights, with every right comes a corresponding responsibility. If we teach those things, you need less government because we become self-governed.
You teach people correct principles, ladies and gentlemen, and they govern themselves. That's why God doesn't have the gazillion commandments like government. God just has 10. And then the great two, right? So I can say 12 maybe. You know, I'm not saying that there's no other guidelines from God. I'm just saying that's the core, though, to a basis of civilized society. It doesn't matter if we have different theological viewpoints or whatever else. If we double down on these 12, society's a pretty good place, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, that's I forget the lady's name that David Barton talks about in our course. But, you know, somebody mentioned how many thousands of laws are on the books and rules and all those things. She said there's 10 that'll keep you out of jail, you know, and those are the ones. And they're basic laws of nature as well. I mean, even if someone doesn't believe in, you know, Jesus, if they don't believe in the God of the Bible, all of his laws are written on our hearts. And that law of nature and nature's God.
Rick, can you stay with me longer?
Oh, yeah.
Can you stay
till
the end of the hour?
You bet.
All right, this is just so good, ladies and gentlemen. I'm asking Rick to stay. He was supposed to fly at 45, but we're going to keep him till the end of the hour. I am a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, and I highly recommend you work on him becoming yours as well. Rick Green with us. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that. But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Live on your radio with Rick Green, ladies and gentlemen, patriotacademy.com for incredible training opportunities. You can become a coach, an advocate, if you will, for constitutional training, for training about the proper role of limited government, training about who we the people are and how government was ordained among us, ladies and gentlemen, to maximize freedom. And if you don't understand that principle, you say, well, wait a minute, how do I give up a little bit of freedom to maximize it? Go read Bastiat's The Law, and you'll kind of get the point, the premise. The point generally is that, you're going to have a vacuum if you're not very careful, and somebody's going to fill that vacuum with power. Who do you want it to be? Somebody that we divide up power with checks and balances and gets their orders, if you will, their direction, their by the consent of the governed? Or do you want just some king, some tyrant, or even some worse power to fill that vacuum? That's the question. How do you maintain liberty? The founders understood that there's a delicate, sacred balance that only a people, a moral people, could handle. And our government's inadequate for the governing of any other, but a moral, a religious people, ladies and gentlemen, based on principle, teaching the people correct principles, letting them govern themselves. So Rick Green, as we talk about this Let's Go Brandon movement, I agree with you that it's healthy and that we need people engaged. It's healthy, but if we're not very careful, we might end up like the French revolutionaries. I don't want any part of it. I do want to be a restorationist, though, because we don't need a revolution. We already had that, and it was successful. Now we have the blueprint for liberty. We just got to embrace it, understand it, and then politely, by our greater numbers, insist on it. In my opinion, that's where it starts for solutions, Rick.
Yeah, we want a revolution with ballots, right? And not the French kind of a revolution, for sure. I don't know if we can do it politely, honestly. I think sometimes it has to be with force, kind of like the last line one of the final lines in Paul Revere's Ride by Longfellow in the final stanza, a cry of defiance and not of fear. I think there is a time for righteous anger, and so sometimes that pushback may not come across polite. I don't think Christ was always polite. Not to just pick on that one word that you used, but I mean, I think there is a time for sarcasm. There is a time for using humor and those things to also win over those people who are sitting, in the middle and not paying attention. But balance, of course, and absolutely with the right morals. And that's where we have to be good leaders, and that's where we have to get people to study. Just like you're saying, go read The Law. I mean, that's required reading for our students that attend Patriot Academy. I'm so glad you mentioned that. And it's almost like you're reading it today, right? I mean, if you read it, you're going, man, this is literally describing what's happening in our culture. So those principles don't change over time. The heart of man doesn't change. There's always going to be people that want to control us and that want to use government to micromanage people. And there's always going to be those who love freedom and are willing to fight for freedom. And the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. We have to constantly be engaged. And we're blessed in this country to have peaceful tools at our fingertips. There is no reason that we should not be able to win this country back. And Virginia's a great indication of that. Everybody said, we're not going to win any more elections. They control the elections now. They're going to steal every election from now on. And we were telling people, no, stay involved. Improve the election laws, of course, but don't stay home thinking they're going to steal it. And look, even in blue Virginia, we were able to win those races. I'm hoping that's a great indication of what's to come in the next few years.
And it is, and we could double down precinct by precinct. We can demand paper ballots. We can fire Fauci. Now, firing Fauci, giving him due process of law, but eventually prosecuting him and tossing him in the clink.
Amen.
I don't think that's very polite, but I think it's absolutely necessary. When I say polite, though, I mean we can use the checks and balances. We can use the rule of law. We can use the moral high ground to create accountability and transparency. And that's what we, the people, need to do. Now, it may not always be polite, but we want to lead with a polite view. We want to follow the Prince of Peace. Now, I get that he had other, keys to his name, meaning Jesus Christ. He's going to come in his wrath. Okay, so I get that it's not all peaceful and roses and you know, but we can lead with that foot forward. And then as they force us, if they're wicked, hey, we must go to war too sometimes.
That's right.
I support that if it's a just moral war. But let's not lead with that. Let's not run around with the moral lows and say, oh, yeah, we're going to just arrest everyone and get crazy. Hold on now. Even Fauci deserves due process. Due process is going to convict him, and he's going to go to prison if we carry it out honorably. But nevertheless, so I'm all about what needs to happen. But let's be the guy that goes into war saying, I don't want to be here. I don't want any part of this. I want to be home with my wife or my mom, depending on how old he is. But then the guy that takes care of business if he has to, not the guy that bombastically runs into war going, I'm going to kill everybody because they're the enemy.
Amen.
What viewpoint and attitude do you want to have about this is really the point that I'm trying to nail down. Rick,
you know, you're describing, many people out there might remember this book from 20 years ago called Tender Warrior by Stu Weber. And that's the mindset I tried to raise my boys in, you know, and I actually gave that book to all the men in my wedding as well, because it's exactly what you just described, a tender warrior, where you lead, you know, as a person that is loving their enemy and that has the right attitude in all those situations. But when provoked and when pushed to that brink, is able to be that warrior. It's like King David, right? I mean, here's a guy that could sing songs and worship the Lord and bring, you know, literally bring the Holy Spirit into
and hang
into
out
a
with
room.
The sheep, right?
That's right. But then could turn around and fight that lion or fight that giant and win. And that's kind of the American spirit, right? I mean, we're gentlemen, right? But when you push us to the brink, you go to Lexington. That was a pastor leading the way there, Jonas Clark, who had preached liberty all those years. But finally, on April 19th, 1775, enough was enough. They were literally coming to take our munitions, take our arms. And so they were willing to say, hey, don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have war, let it begin here. So I think we absolutely agree in the way that it's approached. In fact, I go back to the beginning of the pandemic and my governor in Texas, Greg Abbott, first 2 weeks, he was great. And he did only talked about things, you know, encouraged people to do things, no mandates, none of that stuff. But then he went off the cliff with Gavin Newsom and all these other crazy tyrants and started micromanaging our country and our state and telling people they had to stay home and whatnot. So initially, you know, we tried, hey, olive branches, try to get this guy to do the right thing. And after a year of keeping us in jail, we finally said we have to have other candidates. It's time to go to war politically and
Amen.
Have people run.
Agreed.
So you, yeah.
Absolutely. So we'll go to war if we must, but we certainly don't want to be there. If we need to be Rambo and take care of business, you know what? We'll be the man's man, baby. But you know what? Right. I'm not going to glorify that. I'm going to endure it, and I'm going to take care of business like I need to, and then I'm going to return to my wife and children as God intended.
Amen.
So I'm not going to shrink from responsibility in any way, ladies and gentlemen. That's not what I'm advocating for. I'm just telling you, we better hold the moral high ground when we do it, or we're going to end up like the French. We
you know,
better
you're
turn
describing
to God, family, and that's the order of things, Rick.
That's right. And you're describing too, Sam, the whole idea of a sheepdog. You know, that sheepdog is able to do battle, but is also able to snuggle up to you and let you pet it and be friendly and all of those things. And you know, it's not, I don't think it's by coincidence that we have these two big issues right now with regard to the Second Amendment, with the Kyle Rittenhouse trial this week and this kid being just abused by this prosecutor, but doing a phenomenal job. He actually ran circles around the prosecutor, clearly acted in self-defense. And then we have this case before the Supreme Court really asking the question, do you have a right to keep and bear arms? And I'm going that direction because I wanted to come back to what you're saying. That's part of what we train people to do. I've taken 5,000 people through our constitutional defense course where we teach the Constitution in the evenings, and we learn proper, safe use of a handgun to defend your family during the day on the range. And we teach people, you are not ever looking for a fight. You never want to be in a gunfight. You avoid those absolutely, and only at the point where you have to use that to save your family's life, to save someone's life, that's when you use that firearm. It's the exact same attitude you're talking about. That's a tender warrior where you've got the ability to defend, you've got the ability to fight back, and same thing politically. We have the ability to make our government do what we wanted to do, because it all comes back to we the people and consent of the governed. But at the same time, we walk peacefully, and we don't, you know, we're not braggadocious. We're not looking for a fight. I think you've described exactly the right attitude.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's how it is. And I understand the Let's Go Brandon that we've tapped into. I hesitate on it because, like I say, if you're not careful, you'll end up like the French. Most people in America believe it's fine to say F the president publicly in stadiums across the country. I'm concerned about that. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, our decorum is pretty horrific right now, right? And again, it all comes back to what you've been saying for 25 years, what I've been saying for 25 years. If you buy into moral relativism and you lose standards in your culture and your society of moral absolutes, you're headed to the gutter. I mean, there's just no way around it. The natural tendency of man is to move towards that least common denominator and that desire to fulfill fleshly desires. And you hear it in our language, you hear it in our discussions and all of those things. So there's no doubt that if we come back to the moral absolutes, we teach those things not in a self-righteous way, but in a look, these are just principles that work. When you do things God's way, they're not only right, they work best. You get the best results for your kids, for your family, for your community. And we lost that. We've been running away from that for really about 80 years now in our country, and we're living with the results. I mean, we push God out of the equation. We have a Supreme Court who has literally ruled against even talking about God at school and having the Ten Commandments on the wall in schools and all these things, and we're living with the result, and it absolutely leads to a more crass society, a less safe society, and now to Looneyville. I mean, now we're to the point where we're saying men have female parts, women have male parts. We want, you know, the president of the United States stated policy is that he wants boys to be able to go in girls' bathrooms, lockers, and showers. This is evil stuff. It led to rapes in Loudoun County School District, and they tried to cover it up. And, I mean, that's why parents, Mama Bear has been awakened, man. And you talk about tender warriors. These mamas are coming out at these school boards and letting them have it as well.
As they should, ladies and gentlemen. Don't misunderstand my point. As they should.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Right, so the good thing is people. Yeah, go ahead.
Here's what I want to end on, Rick. We're about out of time. Tender warrior. Every man's purpose, every woman's dream.
There it is.
Are you, ladies and gentlemen, a tender warrior? I hope so. Because if we have tender warriors in America who understand God, family, and country, and who will fight for it, but at the same time lead by following the Prince of Peace, even Jesus Christ, our Savior, then I feel absolutely fantastic and have no concerns, Rick. But we've got to make sure that's what we become.
Amen. Amen. You know, and I'll say this, Sam, we used to reinforce that throughout the culture. You think about our Hollywood heroes of, you know, John Wayne and those kind of folks. That was how they were portrayed in the movies and our entertainment, so we instilled that in our kids from a young age. We've got to come back to that, and that begins in the home. You know, it begins with us as fathers, and it begins with our home, and then influencing the people in the neighborhood and at our church, and especially influencing those young men that may not have a fatherly figure. There's so much we can do. I mean, anybody listening right now, God's going to show you a path of what you can do. If you'll say, I'm here, I'm available, here my Lord, send me, I promise you he's going to bring people into your life. He's going to bring opportunities, whether it's being a Constitution coach or leading a young men's Bible study or whatever it might be. We just got to be available, and we got to start taking action.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Green doing a phenomenal job on your radio, doing a phenomenal job as always, ladies and gentlemen. PatriotAcademy.com to learn more about that. Rick, if you had just 30 seconds to say anything to America, what would you say, sir?
If you keep sitting on the sidelines, we lose this nation. America is not guaranteed to last. Freedom is not guaranteed to last for your children and grandchildren. And so you got to ask the question, what is my child's freedom worth? Not what's your freedom worth. What is your child's freedom worth? And what are you willing to do? Start spending your time. That's your life. Start spending your money, your fortune, and start being willing to put your name on the line. That's your sacred honor. Lives, fortune, sacred honor. Every single one of us need to stand up and be willing to sacrifice those things.
Rick Green, thank you so much, sir. Come back soon.
God bless you, man. Thanks for having me.
PatriotAcademy.com, ladies and gentlemen. Are you a tender warrior? If not, we all got to work on it, ladies and gentlemen. Are you part of the kitchen militia? Moms educating Americans across the country. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Men and women together under God's direction are the most powerful force on the planet. Never forget it. God save the Republic of the United States of America.